And welcome back to Cinema Vino, another mini episode talking about the Book of Boba Fett, episodes 4 and 5.
Boba Fett.
The book.
Cinema Vino.
it's all of our vino. We recorded episode 4, and we had some technical difficulties with that, probably on my part.
And Todd forgot to hit record.
Yeah.
Todd was pulling his pants up out of the bathroom, and the SD card fell into the toilet.
Yeah. Well, I clicked on one of those spam emails about how to get more inches.
I'm telling you, man.
It worked for Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the wrong email.
Yeah.
The P has to be upside down.
That's right.
That's when you know it's real.
That's right.
Click on that one.
Is that actually the P, or is that the P in the email?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's actually at pmail.com.
Pmail.
So, episode 4, I figure we can probably tidy that up real quick. I remember that being kind of a placeholder episode, moving on to more action.
Full circle episode.
Yes, brings us up into the more of the now of him meeting Fennec Shand in the desert whenever she's wounded, patching her up and bringing her back. And then
the tattoo artist.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the big reveal at the end of the episode now is not as much of like a teaser.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the episode ended with like the Mandalorian music, and we were just like, oh my God, is the Mandalorian coming back? Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Great.
Basically, we get a free episode of The Mandalorian after that.
Yeah, it's season 2.5.
Yeah, which is nice. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it in a general way. It wasn't anything specifically great about the episode. I just enjoy Star Trek, and it was more Star Trek, so.
Star Wars?
Yeah. I think that's what we're watching here.
What did I say, Star Trek?
Cut that.
I'm going to leave that. That's going to be warts and all. That's going to be warts and all.
Now we're going to get hate mail.
What color would Picard's
lightsaber be? The nerds are coming for us.
Picard?
Yeah, what color lightsaber he?
Green.
Red.
Oh.
Hot take.
Young Picard, yes. Young, hot-headed Picard would be red.
Picard loves too much to be a Jedi.
That's true.
That man loves some ladies.
He does. Woo. Woo. Riker would be blue. He'd be generic Obi-Wan blue.
Yeah, he's more peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So
Boba Fett, huh?
We did see the inevitable conclusion of Black Chrysanthemum's story of that he's going to come work for Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Which we knew whenever we saw him, whenever he was first released. I don't know why they even waited to like send him to a bar to get in a bar fight. Like, just as soon as he released Black Chrysanthemum, he should have been like, come you want to work for me?
You're missing a real business opportunity there.
Give it the beat?
I don't know. That was a weird. That was episode 3. It was like, just go. And it's like, he just walked off into the desert.
Like,
and
I was like, but you're just going to let him go?
Yeah.
I was like, just trot it off.
And he was kind of walking off like he expected a job offer. Like,
I tell you what I didn't like about this episode was the whole, they went into the tattoo parlor type thing. You get the cyborg enhancements. That music has no business being so. It did not sound like anything remotely.
What would you relate that music to?
Man.
DeLorean.
The first Blade movie where the vampires are having a bloodbath and they're all like,
that was a cool scene. That was a really cool scene.
That was cool.
Yeah. But the weird.
Maybe a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away was the 90s.
Mm,
yeah.
Could have been.
90s Euro, like techno club.
Yeah. Faux show. I disliked that section like I disliked the colorful Vespas in the episode before.
Yeah, and that's our band name if we ever start a band.
Colorful Vespas?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Mm-hmm.
But I did love how once Boba Fett got back Slave One, that he took out
fire
that...
Fire spray?
No, I said Slave One.
Fire spray.
he took out the speeder biker gang like nothing. They were like beneath him at that point.
He also
was like, I just had to
took out Sarlacc.
Yeah, why didn't he do that first? Why didn't he
I don't know
bomb first and then hop in there?
I don't know, because he didn't want to destroy his best car, I guess. But does he really not remember like his best car being on him? Like, that was the only thing that kept him alive in the Sarlacc, right?
Best car Fett.
I will say there's been a lot of speculation about the time gaps in Mandalorian, Boba Fett, yada, 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 seeing how these timelines line up. I think the answer is that the time he spent in the Sarlacc was multiple years. So
really?
The Sarlacc keeps you alive for thousands of years and like sustains you in a state of being alive as it digests you. That's what they say in Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he was actually... being digested very, very slowly, and he somehow gained consciousness and was able to break his way out, presumably because of the Beskar.
Yeah.
But wow. Yeah, that explains the time jump, because yeah. Obviously when he comes out, everything has been far removed from Jabba the Hutt losing power.
Yeah, I continue to hear that it's basically a 5-year time jump from end of Return of the Jedi to Mandalorian is roughly 5-ish years, but they have never established any kind of timeline.
No, because they're very loose.
Everything is like Battle of Yavin, and then after that.
I also think anytime you establish a timeline, you're also kind of writing yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think they want to give themselves they're as just much
yada yadaing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Dave Filoni wrote episode 5, right? Uh-huh. I think.
I think he's doing episode 6.
Okay.
I don't think he did 5.
Bryce Dallas Howard directed
episode 5. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it, so
do we and she did some Mandos too, right? She did a Mando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She did.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to get an episode 5?
You want to talk about it? Anybody else for 4?
Thoughts on 4?
I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, I think nothing the best. Great. I think the best part was the end song.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It leads to episode 5.
5 just made us forget about 4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 3, 2, 1.
Quite frankly, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing is going to make me forget about the mopeds.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed the first part of episode 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. The first 20 seconds.
But I'm done with all these flashbacks. I'm completed.
Well, we're out of the back to tank now, so everything's current.
Oh, I did ask last time one, and Taylor wasn't there for it. All of the flashbacks in Mando, in Boba Fett, would it have been more effective if they would have just gone in chronological order, if they would have shown everything that happened after he got out of the Sarlacc pit and then didn't have all those flashbacks and then went into his Kingpin storyline?
I think so.
Or is it effective the way they did?
I'm torn, because I would like to think, my initial answer I would say is yes. I was like, but I kind of liked it because it broke it up a little bit.
Exactly.
And so it's like, so if they did it, I probably wouldn't have any problems with it. I was like, okay, hey, we're doing this episode is all the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Great. But it did break it up a little bit. And quite frankly, we don't know what they're building up to. I mean, we kind of haven't, I mean, I don't know, Mando's in it, but it was like what they did, I'm not opposed to it. It broke it up. Yes, there were some things where I was like, this has got to be done. It was like,
if we saw it chronologically, we would have gotten really bored with the early part of his Kingpin storyline.
Yeah.
Because like, ugh.
It felt like every episode was like one step forward, two steps back. I'm like, oh, geez, we got to go back. I want
to
see.
I will agree to that.
Yeah, but can you imagine if you like went to go talk to the mayor? Okay, he left. He went to go back to talk to the mayor. It's like, okay, let's go on a fucking moped chase. That probably
would have shown them that, wow, these episodes are kind of weak if they're just doing.
Yeah.
Which is why they did it. They diluted it, you know?
Yeah.
They cut it up. Mm-hmm. Bad product.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a fan of flashbacks in general in things. And like you said, it would have forced them to completely reevaluate the story if they'd done it chronologically. And yeah, you would see there's some filler that you need to get rid of in here. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would have loved if they had done kind of the Dance of the Wolves, like Last Samurai thing early on. And again, you'd had to, it's like, yeah, we need to punch up the Kingpin story. We need to do better. He can't keep going back to the mayor. He can't keep, you know, people showing up a tribute again. It's like, let's liven this up a little
bit. Bill Dotrieve coming to complain about his water getting stolen.
So I think it would have forced them to
I kind of forgot about that until you brought it up. I was like, God damn it,
Hank.
And that's a lot of money for some water.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the currency to the dollar, but God damn.
Yeah, it's pricey.
Inflation. Oh, I think he's going to do a voice in Vox Machina also, the water guy, the water
bear. He probably does. He does voice acting.
If he doesn't go in there and complain about the water, I'm going to be really disappointed.
So episode 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mandalorian episode 1.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, 3.1. I thought, like everybody said, it's great. I mean, it kind of points out, I hate to say it, how much stronger of a character Mando is than Boba Fett.
God. It's such a great palate cleanser. Oh my God.
I don't even know if it's because he's a stronger character or just because we've gotten 2 seasons of him and we're the fandom. I want more.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's a big thing. It's the fandom of it. Like, they have created this character that everyone has fallen in love with.
Yeah.
And they even said, I mean, hell, we're doing spoilers, right?
Yeah.
At the very end, he was like, I got to go see a kid, or, you know, I got to check on something first. And, and I think just like that, Baby Yoda has just been like, or Grogu. Yeah. It's like, that's a cultural phenomenon. So I think people are like, what's he going to do next? I think after the few episodes of Boba Fett, they're just like, what does he do again? It's like, you know, and like, you know, as the Star Wars fans, you know, they're like, oh man, I don't know what these diehard fans have thought about it, you know, but I feel like they haven't really given a whole lot to it. Mm-hmm. But then when you show the character that every newbie, you know, female new fans been like, Mandalorian, you know, and of course this is gonna be the best episode there is.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree.
Yeah. They bring back all the big iconic stuff from the TV show. Yeah. You know, the staff, the Beskar staff, and
immediately gets melted down.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
And turned into jewelry or whatever. I'm guessing.
Chainmail. Yeah. I think it's chainmail. Yeah. Right.
And the dark saber and all that mythology around it. Yeah.
Badass. Mm-hmm. I think the opening scene where we just see like the like rubber slaughterhouse curtains just part and we see Mandalorian, like if I was in a theater, there would be cheering.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
As soon as he parts like and just walks in, I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
And then he immediately gets into a badass fight
with
the darksaber, cuts a dude in half.
Yeah.
That is everything I wanted.
He cuts himself.
He cuts himself with it.
Yes. That's a mistake.
Well,
mistake.
No. I mean, like, if I had a lightsaber, I would 100%
do that. What I would do.
And I'm like, oh my God, that guy, he sucks too.
No.
I would do the same.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that they are showing like vulnerability and showing him kind of like a learning curve because he's not a Jedi. Yeah. And he's wielding a lightsaber.
I thought he was going to be like, melt this fucking spear down and give me some more leg protection.
Yeah.
Let me give some more of this Beskar.
Yeah.
Can we make this shit wrap around?
And you know, I got to say, it was a badass scene when he walks up and he's talking to the guy. And it's like one of the most simplest lines, but he was like, well, if I see him, I'll tell him you stop by. And he's like, that's funny because I'm looking at him right now. Or whatever he says. He was like, he was basically like, I know who the fuck you are, man.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's so badass. And then I kind of just clicked. I'm like, Boba Fett's been really badass in a lot of his like one-liners and what he's been saying, but man, not as cool as Mandalorian. Yeah. And it was like, but not as cool as Mando. He's been really cool about like, you know, being chill, kind of being stern, you know, fucking with the mayor or whatever. And it's just like, man, that one line from Mando.
Mando.
And I was like, damn it, why is he so much better?
That's what I was going to say too, is he's got that one line that's all him now. He's just like, look, man, this is not going your way, and this line, that's his Ezekiel 25:17.
Exactly, yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm done talking.
Because clearly, I'm going to start calling him Mr. Fett. I mean, he's got to have people come save his ass half the time. Mm-hmm. Mando's like, fuck this shit. Like, Mando's like, I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
But you know, old Mr. Fett's like, hey, y'all, can y'all help me out real quick? And I was like, y'all, I'm kind of struggling over here.
How badass was it when he walked out and he was just like, you're going to have to let me through.
Yeah. It was like, you got
there's
a couple choices.
There's a pile of Imperial credits in there that I have no business to. You're more than welcome to help yourself.
That was all bluff. He was not doing well. Cause he saw that he was,
he was limping.
Indiana Jones limp after that. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
I take a couple licks.
Well, and you know, it's like, how cool is it when he like deposits that severed head and he's walking. I was like, you're going to keep that on ice. Pretty cool.
Also, that was one continuous shot. So when he walks into, he puts the head
elevator
down, it kind of it comes out from the elevator. He comes out, it comes in from behind him. He puts the head down and then it sort of pans around the card table all the way around back to him as he walks out for that whole conversation. It was awesome.
That's cool.
So well done. It was really cool.
And then, and then he gets back on and then it switches and then he's back out, right? Mm-hmm. Is that all one? All right, I'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty cool stuff.
Very neat stuff. It was neat. Yeah. And then we got some more Mandalorian lore. There was a hashtag lore drop. He admitted to taking his helmet off, which was fucking embarrassing.
I know. Yeah. I was like, you know, you can lie.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know. He's got his honesty. Yeah.
It's an honor.
And I feel like she would know. The armorer would know that.
As soon as he hesitated, she knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just me. I'm like, oh my God, I hope he's a Jedi somehow or is force sensitive. Because they've, you know, brought it up again with like the whatever Tar Vizsla was like both a Mandalorian and a Jedi.
He was the Jedi one that made the darksaber. Yeah.
Like, I doubt that he's going to keep it because we have, for us nerds, Sean and I, who have watched Rebels, there's a Mandalorian on there named Sabine Wren who has been cast and is going to be in the Ahsoka series. Spoiler alert. Whatever. Spoilers. Fuck you. It's everywhere. But she originally had the Darksaber in the cartoons Rebels.
Well, we know that Bo-Katan ended Clone Wars with it.
Yeah,
so when the she ended with it.
That's right.
With the Siege of Mandalore. And when obviously Bo-Katan is who has that whole confrontation with Mandalorian at the end of season two. Where she's like, listen, I can't take that from you because I didn't win it. And that's been a problem before. And then we get a little bit of exposition around that, where she's like, Bo-Katan is a cautionary tale. Bo-Katan did not win it in blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So we know that Bo-Katan, who we've been introduced to already, is Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. if you remember.
Yeah.
And Sabine Wren, who has it in Rebels, also doesn't really win it. I mean, she wins it through combat, sort of.
I don't remember.
I seem to recall.
I just remember her being taught how to wield it by
Jared. It from Death Watch.
Okay.
So Death Watch, and there's a lot of interaction between Death Watch and Mandalorian. We've lost everybody. We're really losing the trail. But I think what's interesting about this episode was you get some exposition from the Forge Master when she's talking about how that Mandalorian clan in particular survived the Siege of Mandalore, because they were isolated on a moon somewhere when that was they were off Mandalore, basically, because they were like cloistered for religious purposes, what have you. So there's a lot of speculation going on online about like who she is. Is she a character that we've seen before in Clone Wars? I think the general answer is no, but we'll see.
The Forge Master?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they call her the Armorer in the show.
I think, yeah.
But both are. But yeah, she's got a great voice, too, because I keep.
You have like, to. Who you wear a mask the whole
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do this well with having the Mandalorian, all these people who you never get to see their faces emote without having, you know, all that extra gesture.
It's the Power Rangers acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Which is my favorite school of acting.
Mine too. There's Juilliard, there's East Coast, West Coast, and then Power Rangers.
Yeah. Power Rangers, yeah. Yes.
Well, when they like inevitably do a Doctor Doom drop at Marvel, I'm like, much like with Darth Vader, I'm like, man, they're gonna want to take off his mask all the fucking time, like they do Spider-Man.
I hope they don't. Mm-hmm.
But I keep looking at this. I'm like, okay, I hope they're seeing this. Obviously, it's Disney. And they go that route because there's, you know.
Well, Tom Holland talked a lot about how much overacting he had to do with a mask on. Is he was like, I had to figure out how to act with a mask on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tom Hardy and Bane. That's what he said, was that it was very difficult to.
Huh.
Yeah. So he just did a voice no one can understand.
And
it's a good choice.
It's
a choice.
Hugo Weaving, V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to
Mandalorian.
Back to back.
What was everybody's like rating of it? What would you guys give it? Scale of 1 to 10. This episode and versus previous episode.
This is 9 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
To me, Boba Fett has been really cool in the original trilogy, but it's kind of like, man, I can't even remember the line of the Julie Roberts says it in Notting Hill, where she's like the celebrity that Hugh Grant sleeps with, and they're. I don't know if it was Rita Hayworth. She was like, yeah, Rita Hayworth used to say, they go to bed with Rita Hayworth and then they wake up with me. That's how I feel Boba Fett is. Like, oh man, Boba Fett, fuck yeah, we want this. And then we get the TV series.
That's a great like, poll.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if this is something I wanted or not.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous quote.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good job.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tay, what do you think?
This episode?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
5.
9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
9 out of 10.
Yeah. It was like, but like, again, me not knowing anything about Star Wars, I love Mandalorian season 1, season 2. And this one, I was like, great. Like, I mean, I was rocking a bone just at the end of, episode 4, but the whole, his old theme song coming on, I was like, oh, he's coming back. This is badass. And I was actually shocked that, like, there was nothing. It was just him.
Yeah.
Yes. I was
Zero
like,
Boba Fett.
And that's why I was kind of giggling. I was like, boy. And I was like, because I've actually liked the first 4 episodes, just because I think all those fucking, I call them films. They're all really cool. I like them all.
Yeah,
they're very appeasing to me. But at the same time, I was like, this ain't no Mando.
Yeah,
this ain't no Mando. So yeah. It's like, they better have something in store tomorrow. Well, yeah. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They better have something crazy.
Before we wrap it up and get around the horn, before so we did get other Mandalorian like backstory. We had the whole thing of the Night of the Thousand.
We got
Tears,
to see the Night of the Thousand,
and you got to see the ships from the old like Phantom Menace for
episode one. That was really cool.
And then you get to see like all he does is hanging out and he's like tinkering. You get a montage. But even that was fucking cool. You're like, oh, sweet.
It was basically the Grease Lightning montage. Yeah.
And he went through the cliffs where they did the pod racing.
Kind of was.
Go Grease Lightning.
Yeah. But he went through the cliffs where they did the pod racing in Phantom. There were so many callbacks, even though the prequel trilogy didn't quite do it for me. Like, all of the callbacks and tie-ins, there was so much lore in this, and it was just Mando and just a montage of fixing up a ship. That episode has been better than the rest.
Yeah, the Naboo Royal Guard ship is awesome. And it even has like a little Baby Yoda pod for him to hang out where they retrofitted the astromech pod.
I'm telling you, Pig Nolte. That's who needs to go back there.
Nook Nolte.
I have spoken. How great would that
be? I have spoken.
But where is he going to keep his carbonite prisoners? There's no fucking space.
I think a lot of people are speculating that he's going to team up with Bossk again.
Ooh,
Bossk.
And that thing, that you know, Star Cruiser is not conducive. Like, that's going to be a lot of Dutch oven.
We're going to sleep. That's going to be a toasty ship.
All right, I'm sorry, Todd. What was your...
And you can't take your helmet off when there's a Dutch oven either. You're stuck.
He doesn't take his helmet off in general. I guess that he can breathe under there, so there's air. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought this episode was a 10 out of 10. I thought it was, they knocked it out of the park. Yeah,
I would say 10.
I mean, other than the Grease Lightning montage, I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah, I'd say 10 out of 10 for Star Wars scale. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a perfect Mando episode and my Boba Fett.
Well, I guess you could say, I was like, if we're going to say if it's a Mando standalone episode, it was great. But if like,
as a Boba Fett episode, there
wasn't Boba Fett at all.
Yeah.
Like, and there was nothing like said about it.
Noba Fett, am I right?
This was a real like chocolate and peanut butter commercial. We're like, you got your Boba Fett and my Mando. You got your Mando and my Boba Fett.
They are two great tastes that taste great together.
Yeah, it's like Fig Newtons, you know, fruit and cake. Although technically that would be
fruit cake. That was my Instagram handle.
Fruit and cake.
Yeah. I like that.
6969.
Find us on Instagram.
So anyway, really quickly, we were drinking the Chateau Graysac Merlot. Well, it's a Bordeaux, but it's
Nook Nolte.
It's a Merlot.
It's 65% Merlot, and then the remainder of it are the Bordeaux grapes. So it'll be Cabernet Franc. I believe there's some Malbec and Petit Verdot in there, but it's mainly Merlot. Nice, rich, full-bodied red wine. $25, between $25 and $30. Travis's next user handle is taken, unfortunately.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Did you look up fruit and cake?
6969.
Don't do it.
It's taken.
Google it and I'm feeling lucky.
Fruit and cake. If you're a listener to this podcast, give it up for Travis.
We'll give you $25 for your username. But yeah.
$25 in Dave and Buster's gift cards.
Those are awesome. Ooh. Yeah, you can do the Sonic the Hedgehog ride on there. It's awesome. You know, you get in like the little thing and run through there.
I don't know.
What?
Pretty sweet.
What? How often are you going to Dave and Buster's?
You get to be Sonic the Hedgehog?
You get to do the Dance Dance Revolution. You get to actually run through the thing.
Do you get coins? Or like rings, I guess?
I think so, yeah. It's the 10 rings.
Huh.
Yeah.
The ball pit?
Legend of the 10 rings? We've done that
podcast. Sonic.
Yes.
They're Legend of the 10 rings.
And there is a ball pit, so there's a lot of pee in that ball pit. I'm just gonna warn
it wouldn't
you.
Be a ball pit if there weren't.
They don't wash their balls?
No. Neither
do I.
Nor their pit.
What other wine were we drinking?
We're going to talk about the Cremant in the next episode because that fits up with our date night motif.
Cremant.
But for this one, Chateau Graysac, if you're looking in your Bordeaux section of your wine store, about $25-$30. And it would be a solid Valentine's Day wine, too, if you're doing a nice heavy meal like a steak or something. It would go really well with that.
It's tasty.
But yeah. It's a nice, like, fruit-forward Merlot, but still has some good body to it. So, and not a bad price.
No.
The one we had, I believe, is a 2017. I think it's a 2016. That should hold up for a few years. So, you could buy that, put a few more years of age on it, and it should be good to go. So, but anyway, there's been another episode of Cinema Vino. And we next are going to get into our Valentine's Day month series with As Good As It Gets. And so, tune in for that, y'all. We thank you very much.
Hasta luego.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Don't forget to love each other.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.